Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Yud Zayin. And we are holding at the bottom of Tet Zayin Amud Beit. We were talking yesterday about all the various things that have their order of hierarchy of what is Choshev. And Rabbi Yosef says that Talmud Torah is greater than Hatzalos and Nefashos. And then we spoke about that the idea of Talmud Torah is greater than the Bini Beis HaMikdash. That was the last thing that we learned, and that was from the fact that as long as Baruch ben Neriah was around, who was the Rebbe of Ezra, Ezra would not leave him, even for the Bini Beis HaMikdash. And he ended up coming much later. Today, the Gemara wants to add, and this is one line up from the bottom on Amud Beis, Omar Rabba Omar Rabbi Yisrael Shmuel Bar Marta, Godol Talmud Torah Yoter Mikivud Ave'im. And this is the last thing that we see that other mitzvahs are not as choshev, is that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibbud Av V'Aim. Let's not make the mistake of thinking that means that one is a deich of the other, because you can have a mitzvah that's greater, but when it comes to Talmud Torah, remember the klal is that if this is a mitzvah that cannot be mekuyim al yedei adam acher, so then you have to be mekuyim the mitzvah v'yachzor l'limudo. So because otherwise it's a mitzvah that would never allow you to do other mitzvahs. But in terms of the chashivas of the mitzvah, Talmud Torah is greater. Because we see that kol tam shanim, shaya Yaakov Avinu bebeit ever lo ne'enash. As long as Yaakov Avinu was spending his 14 years in the Beis HaMedrash of Ever, so he wasn't punished. The Omar Mar, before we get to this, let me just point out that over here it doesn't say in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. It says he was in Beit Ever. And the mashma'ut is that, as we're going to see, Ever died just a couple of years after Yaakov left his yeshiva. And it also, it says that it was Be'beito. So the mashma'ut over there is that he was actually hiding. Right, so he didn't want Esav to know where he was. And the mashma'ut is that when he was learning with Ever, he was actually living bebeito shel Ever. It wasn't just simply that he was in a Beis HaMedrash. If that's the case, then that means when we loosely refer to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, and we call that Ohalim, because it says that each time Yoshev Ohalim, Ohalim is Lashon Rabim, Bepashtus, meaning that there was more than one Beis HaMedrash that he was in, that there were separate places. There was a Beis HaMedrash of Shem, there was a Beis HaMedrash of Ever. Remember that Ever was a grandson, so you have Shem, Shelach, and Ever, which means that Shem was much older, and possibly by the time that Yaakov had been there, even though Rivka, it says Bedavka, went to the Beis HaMedrash to ask Shem, not Ever. So it's obviously that these are two different, they may not be two different locations, but they're two different physical Bate Midrashim, they're two different Olim, or at least two different approaches to life. So when Rivka was asking what's going on with me, she asked Shem. When Yaakov Avinu was running away, he was in the house of Ever, who already at that time was an old man. Just two years later he died. And how should I know if Gavi isn't here yet? So if that's the case, it may well be that Shem was no longer even alive at that time, in which case I have to figure out the years, which I didn't do as I looked into the years. But if you figure out the years of Ever, you can see that he died 2 years later, as we're about to see. Anyway, but getting back to the story. So we know that Yaakov Avinu suffered all of those years that Yosef HaTzadik was taken away from him. And that was keneged the number of years, which were 22 years, that he had not been mishamish, his father. So it says that if we figure out the years, the Omar Mar, Lama nimnush notav shi Yishmael, kedei liyaches behem shenotav shi Yaakov. Why is it so important for the Torah to tell us how long Yishmael lived? I mean, who cares? You know, if you're talking about someone who's a tzaddik and his years, and each like we are actually Derech, you know, the years of Sarah, the years of Avram, what the meaning is of saying those years. What's the point of mentioning the years of Yishmael? The reason is, kidei le'achez behem shenotav shel Yaakov, because we can figure out through them all of the events that took place in Yaakov's life. Because, I mean, here the simple arithmetic, right? It says that Yishmael lives, Ma'at shanav shalshim shanav v'sheva shanim. So that's 137 years, the same as the number of years of Levi, and the same of, as we'll see in this week's parsha, it's coming up. There are two, besides Yishmael, Yichusim here that are talking about 137 years. If you pay attention, you'll see. And these 137 years, let's figure out how they break up. Because Kama Kashish Yishmael Mi Yitzchak. We know that Yishmael was 14 years older than Yitzchak, because obviously it says that Avram was 86 years old. Beleda Tagaret Yishmael Avram. And then it says Avram was 100 years old. Behivaled Lo Yitzchak Beno. Okay, so then that gives us a 14-year difference that Yishmael was older than Yitzchak. Now, if it says Yitzchak, it says Beferish how old Yitzchak was when Yaakov was born, because it says Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana beledet ota. So when the twins were born, Yitzchak was 60. So what does that make? Yishmael was 14 years older than Yitzchak. It means that he was 74, Kedit Yalid Yaakov. Okay, so now, if we know that the total number of years that he lived was 137, and we know that he was 74 years old when Yaakov was born, then how old was Yaakov at the time of Yishmael's death? Well, there, how many years are left of his life to bring him up to 137 if he's already 74? 63. Okay, so kama paishim ishane. How many years are left for Yishmael to live? 63 years. Now, if you figure that out, then you can recognize that Yaakov Avinu, at the time that he got the brachas from his father, he must have been ben shishim v'shalosh shana. So he was 63 years old at that time. And we'll see how this whole thing works out, because it was at that time that he was actually... The Pusik puts together the story of Esav, who then goes to marry, because he sees that Yaakov has left. He got the brachas, Yaakov left, and Vayar Esav. And so what does he do? He goes and he marries, pretending that now he's become very frum. So he goes to marry the daughter of Yishmael at exactly that point. And we know that Yishmael died right then, because it says, Vayar Esav ki beirach. So it says over there that he saw that Yaakov was blessed by his father, and that Shalach oto badena aram, lakachat lo misham isha. And therefore, after he sees that Yaakov was commanded, lo tikach isha mibnot kinan, vayelech Esav al Yishmael, Vayikach et mochlat bat Yishmael ben Avraham achot nevayot al nashav lo liisha. Now you have to admit that it's very strange to suddenly come and identify the fact that mochlat is the sister of nevayot. Why is that important, Bechlal? I mean, the important thing is that she's bat Yishmael. So what we understand from that is that the Torah is not just mentioning who his sister is. It's that who her brother was, that is to say, in other words. So what happened was, if it says Bat Yishmael, Eini yodea sheyachot nevayot, and by definition, she's actually a sister of nevayot. Therefore, we understand, melamed shekitcha Yishmael. So he went to marry the daughter of Yishmael, and made the kiddushin, the original arrangements for the shidduch, but in the end, Yishmael never took her to the chuppah because he was dead. And that's why we have to mention that her older brother was the one that ended up, which was, of course, the the minig, like we see with Avram Avinu. It's the brother that's in charge. So the brother actually brought her to the chuppah. So that means that that was when Yishmael died. Okay, which means that there was Yaakov Avinu must have been 63 years old at that time, because that's the number of years that were left between the 74-year-old Ishmael at the birth of Yaakov and 137-year-old Ishmael at his own death. Okay, so then Yaakov was 63 years old at that point. Now, we never would have figured that out if we hadn't known those essential figures. So that 137 was absolutely important for us in order to place Yaakov Avinu's life events. And why is that so important for us? Because it's from there that we learned this fundamental yesod of what is more important in terms of Talmud Torah or the shimush of his parents. So if you figure out, once you understand that, so then let's go ahead. So now we have 64, he's now 63, he's got 14 more years, so he's now shitin v'tlat. Add the 14 years, which it took him from that date until Yosef was born. Because, I mean, he had worked for 14 years. 7 years he had worked for Leah, and the 7 years that he had worked afterwards, again, in order to have been zocha for Rachel. And then he comes to Lavan, and he says, the moment that Yosef is born, listen, my working time is up, and now I have to leave and take care of myself. So that means there were 14 additional years until Yosef was born. So where does that bring us in terms of the life of Yaakov? Well, add 14 to the 63, and you get 77. Now, if Yosef, 30 years later, was omed bifnei paro, add that to the 77. How old was Yaakov while this was going on, and Yosef was made the king of Mitzrayim, the viceroy of Mitzrayim? That equals 77 plus 30 is 107. Now, there were another 7 years of the great Sova that the Paro's dreams had foretold. Okay, so add those additional years. So then we have Shev the Sova. There were then 2 years of the hunger until they brought them down to Mitzrayim. So that's an additional 2 years. Vitarti de Kafna of the hunger years gives us, should give us, 116. And Paro asks Yaakov, who is now, according to all the cheshbonos that we can see, 116 years old, and he asks him, you look like you're a rather advanced age. How old are you? And he says, instead of saying, I'm 116, instead, Vayomer Paro Yaakov, kama yemei shnei chayecha, and Yaakov answers, yemei shnei migurai, shloshim u'ma'at shana. Where does he come up with 130? He was only 116, a mere youngster. Elash mamina. So you see from here that there are 14 years that we don't know about. So where did those 14 years go? So then that must mean that those are the 14 years which on his way to Lavan, he had hid out in Beit Aver. And Shmamina, that those are Ba'as Rishinim, the Havi, the Beit Aver, Lo Chashivlo, that was not included in the story in the Torah about how it is that Yaakov suffered. Because look, here's the Braita. Ya Yaakov, the Beit Aver, Mutman, and indeed it says Mutman. So in other words, he was hiding out there. He was not a yeshiva boy in the yeshiva where they could come in and see him. He was hiding. And, you know, obviously Esav would have figured he'll go to Gavi's neighborhood to find him. I mean, but in the end, he couldn't find him because he was hiding out in the actual home of Aver. So this, by the way, people don't realize this. They keep thinking that Yaakov Avinu was learning in the Beis Medrash over there, you know, so when Barnea takes everybody out there to the Beis Shem V'Aver, here is where Yaakov Avinu learned for 14 years, but it's not because he was Mutman. So therefore, it says, Aver died after those 14 years, 2 years later. If you analyze the number of years that Aver lived, it works out that he died at exactly 2 years after Yaakov Avinu had left. That means 16 years after Yaakov had left Eretz Yisrael at the age of 63, and he got to Aram Naharaim, Shtei Shanim. Now, after that, so he was Yotzei Rishon Bolo Aram Naharaim, which means that how old was he when he was standing on the Be'er and meets up with Rachel? He is 77, because we have to add the 14 to his 63 years at which he left Yitzchak. Now, we know that he wasn't punished for those years. Why? Because the Braita also says that if you analyze the age of Yosef and when his father came back to him, the total number of years that Yosef had left was 22 years, like Haman was the barber in Kfar Karzon. And Kishem Shapirish Yaakov Avinu Aviv, exactly the number of years that Yaakov Avinu had left his own father, and now he suffers with his own child's not being Meshamesh him and disappearing for those number of years. But that's not true. It wasn't 22 years. It was 36 years, as you make the simple cheshbon. But obviously, 14 of those years are not included. What are the 14? Why do we say 22 instead of 36? Because those 14 years that he was there in Beit Eiver, obviously, lo chashivu. But wait a minute. So then, so let's add up the years, okay? So he worked in Beit Slovan 7 years plus 7 years, okay? And then he ended up working how much additional time? 6 more years. So I understand where we get 22. It was 20. There's the Beit Lavan, Esrim Shinin Havyan. Ela, that, why is it 22? It's 22 because if you analyze the amount of time it took him to get from Beit Lavan to back to Yitzchak Avinu, it took him 2 years, and that he was also punished for. Mishum deishtai beurcha tartin shnin. The Tanya, because as the Brisa points out, he was yotze mi'aram na'arayim, ubalo lesukot. And we know that he spent 18 months over there in Sukkot, because it says, asar sham shmona asar chodesh, because it says, Yaakov nasa sukkota, vayiven lo bayit, ulmikneu asa sukkot. So that means that we have Sukkot by Sukkot. That means that there were two separate seasons of Sukkot, which means that there was a summer, winter, summer. That's 18 months. It took him an additional 6 months to get from Beit El, and that's where he was bringing all of those karbonas and so on, but that doesn't matter. The karbonas don't get you off of the chiyuv to be Mishamesh Yitzchak Avinu. Only the Talmud Torah got him off. So even though Shisha Chodashim, he was there, V'ikriv Zvachim, and that basically brings us to the Raya, that you see that Godol Talmud Torah, Yoser Mikibud Av Ha'Em, Yoser Mibinyan Beit HaMikdash, Yoser Mihatzalat Nefashot, and this brings us to a very important moment in which Richie is apparently asleep, is not even ready to go. I mean, I thought he would be chomping at the bit over here. To the moment of Hadron Alach Megillah Nikret.
Bli Neder.
And so we have arrived at the Kriyat HaMegillah. First, we understood the Megillah. Now we got to figure out how to read the Megillah. So, says our Halak and Mishnah that HaKore et HaMegillah Lemafreya Lo Yatsa Yedei Chuvato. If you read the Megillah out of order, so you're not going to be Yotze. What exactly does out of order mean? I mean, does it mean that you reverse, what, like a whole perek, or you reverse a pasuk, you reverse a word? Well, actually, all of the above. Now, that's a little interesting, because that's not true about Kriyat Shema. In Kriyat Shema, we have the same lashon, HaKor L'Mafreya Lo Yatsa. But by Kriyat Shema, the meaning of HaKor L'Mafreya is dafke, the psukim, or the words, but it does not mean if you were Kori the Parshios out of order. If you read the Parshios out of order, you're still going to be Yotze. So let's say you say Vayomer before Vahaya, or you say the Parsha of Vahaya before Shema, that's fine. But the reason it's fine, as the Parshim are explaining, is because Kriyat Shema is anyway not said in the order in which the parshas appear in the Torah. And therefore, obviously, we're not makbid specifically on the Seder of Parshas, but we are makbid on the words, and that we'll see it. We darshan that from a pasuk. But when it comes to the Megillah is all considered to be, as we'll be talking about in the Gemara, but the Megillah is all considered to be the equivalent of one parsha, in the sense that each event is very carefully marked according to its unfolding. And therefore, if you read anything out of order, it is not going to be Yotze. If you read the Megillah by heart, or Kira'at Targum, or you read it in a Lashon of Aramaic, even Aramaic, which has a getter of higher level kedusha and chashivas because of the way that we talked about visum sechel and meforash, so that the targum has a special place. But even targum, it's not going to help. Certainly, any other language or b'chol lashon, you're not yotze. Now, certainly, if you take a kosher megillah and you read it in another language, meaning that you simultaneously translate. So the simultaneous translation is not better than Baal Peh. You're basically doing that Baal Peh. You may be using a reference to a written text in order to be able to do it correctly, but you're still reading the Megillah Baal Peh. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about, because we already said that if you're Korah Al Peh lo yatsa. So therefore, the meaning over here would be that even if the Megillah was written in that language, so then still you would not be yotze. Aval, nonetheless, you can read the Megillah in another language for a person who speaks that language. Korino talalo azot bilaz. Now, there's big machlokas whether that means that this is a special dispensation, that since the person cannot understand the Megillah if it's not in a language that he speaks, so because of that, you can read it to him. But suppose that individual would also understand the Megillah in Lashon HaKodesh, so then you wouldn't be able to read it for him. Just because he happens to understand the Russian doesn't mean that you're allowed, therefore, to skip the Lashon HaKodesh and read it to him in Russian. If he only understands it in Russian, you can read it to him in Russian. So that's the shita of many Rishonim. Others learn, and this is like it's brought as a Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch. So it's not, there's no clear-cut psak in this. And others learn that, no, the point is, can he understand the language that the Megillah is written in? And it's not because of a dispensation. Maybe that initially it's because of a dispensation. But l'maisa, the halacha would be that a lo'ez would be yotze. V'halo'ez sheshama ashurit. But if you read the Megillah in Lashon HaKodesh to a person who doesn't understand one word of it, so you would think that if that's the case, how could you be yotze since you're chaser the entire idea of the content and of the Pirsumei Nisa? No. There you would be yotze, even though he doesn't understand it. As a matter of fact, the Lashon of yotze, which is mashmir, it's only b'diavad, and that it would be preferable to read it to him in Russian, the Rishonim speak out is not so. That would not be a correct understanding of the word yotze. And that yotze over here means only because we use the word lo yatsa to talk about the ration of the mission, so we use the word ken yatsa here, but that doesn't mean it's only b'diavad, which is yatsa usually means. Now, suppose you read the Megillah and you took breaks in the middle. So you got some madman who's telling you drink or something in the middle of the Megillah, and you can't even read it, so you have to stop and you have to drink, then you have to start again. So the question is that considered to be a hefsek in the Megillah that you shouldn't be, I would say? Or suppose you're in the presence of some of the members of Daf Yomi and you start falling asleep, and you're in the middle of Megillah, you're sort of half awake and half asleep, so you're mitnamim. And even so, you would be yotze in either of these cases. So taking breaks in the middle or being half asleep, that's also yotze. Suppose you're writing a Megillah or you're giving a drasha on the Megillah. And as you're giving the drasha, you're actually reading through all the psukim of the Megillah. Vayi, bimei Achashverosh. Why is he called Achashverosh? Why does it say Vayihi? Fine, so now the question is, can you be yotze the Megillah in the process of being dorishit? Or suppose you're being magia in the Megillah, you're going over the Megillah, and you're reading it with looking for the many mistakes that were made in the Megillah. So there, im kivein libo yatsa, v'im lav lo yatsa. You'll remember the whole conversation we had in the Gemara and the Sugya in Brochas about kakoriyat hashma, im kivein libo yatsa, and we ended up trying to bring a raya from there. That mitzvot srichot kavana. And the Gemara ended up saying, no, the point over here is that he was reading it in order to be magia it, which is not called reading. So again, this big machlokas over there, if you remember, some learned that means that he was reading it with an exaggerated pronunciation of the way that it was written. so that you could tell if there was missing a vav or if there was missing a yud and so on. And maybe that's not the derech kriya, but others learn that's not called kriya. Kriya is not that you're focusing on phonemes. It's that you are attempting to put together in your mind the meaning of words as narrative. And so that it's ipso facto not an act of reading. And that's the main point. And the Gemara therefore said you can't bring a raya that mitzvah strictas kavana from there. However, when it comes to the Megillah, so there's a very interesting approach in the Rambam among some of the Mefarshei Rambam, that the Rambam holds that part of the takana of the Megillah is that you actually need kavana letzeit, and that would be true even if you hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. Okay, as I say, this too is a machlokas, and l'maisa we should be makbid to be yotze as the halacha paskins. Now, the question is, what about the Megillah itself? What makes it kosher? So suppose the Megillah was written with sam. And we're not going to explain these terms because the Gemara is going to be going into exactly what each one of these things are. So suppose it's written with sam, or suppose it's written with sikra, or suppose it's written with kumas, or it's written with kankanton, or suppose it's written on papyrus, or on diftera, lo yatsa, ad sheteiktuva ashurit, ala sefer ubidyo. So it has to be written in ktav ashurit on skin, and this is specifically with dyo. And dyo is not just a stain like sam and sikra. Dyo, as the Mefarshim over here in the Mishnah explained, it means it's the stuff that you make after you burn wood and you take the carbon and you mix it up with. We do not make dyo that way any longer. And as the Mefarshim bring, nobody ever heard of anyone that's using dyo as it's defined by the Mefarshim and the Gemara. And we actually do use mixtures of things like sam, sikra, and kumas, and so on. So la halacha, it's these things as individual stains. When they're put together as a black ink, that doesn't mean that ink absolutely must be made out of the carbon deposits. As a matter of fact, they bring that the carbon deposits are too easily erased nowadays. We can't make a good enough dyo with it. Anyway, minani mili. So where do we know all of this? Interesting, speaking of carbon deposits, so my Shver Zatzal, when he was writing his diary, which they finally published over here, he used, didn't have any pen, but he used burnt matches. So he would burn a match, and then it would write for a little while, you know. He could use that as a pencil, and it actually, the writing survived, and is still almost legible today. So be not emulate. So where do we know this? That you're not yotze if you read things l'mafreya. Or my Rava says so in the Pasuk in the Megillah. It says, kichtavam uchizmanam. And one of the very curious things that we have experienced without understanding why, but we sort of take it for granted, although less so nowadays, one of the curious things that we discover is that time only goes in one direction, which is really weird. But anyway, it's this dimension that gets us stuck in a direction. So if the Torah puts together the Ketavam Kizmanam, then it means that that curious property of time defines the way to read the Megillah. So since time only goes in one direction, so it means that the Megillah can only go in one direction. So Zmanam L'mafrei Lo, you can't take the days and invert them so that one year will have the 15th of Adar coming before the 14th of Adar, and therefore will still be Mekayim Kizmanam, obviously. So Av Ktavam L'mafrei Lo. Come on, tell me that's not beautiful. Okay, so you can't read it in the wrong direction. I love it. Anyway, ask the Gemara, but that talks about Kichtavam Uchizmanam. I mean, that's not talking about the Kriyas HaMegillah. That's talking about when they're keeping the mitzvahs of Asiya, right? Mide Kriya Ktivacha. Show me where it says anything about reading. I mean, the words over here, Lasot, it says, Liot Osim et Shnei HaYamim HaElo Kichtavam Uchiloshona. Doesn't say Liot Nikraim or anything like that. So where do we get the idea that this is a din in Kriya, that you can't do the Kriya in reverse order? Okay, We know the answer to that, don't we? And that is the way we explained it before. Elamiyacha. Tichtiva hayamima ele nizkarim v'naasim. Which means that iskesh zechira la'asiyah. So just as we've seen that the asiyah can't be in the wrong order, so too the zechira, which is the reading of the Megillah, cannot be l'mafreya. Tana, that's true not only of the Megillah, it's also true about Hallel, it's also true about Kriyat Shema, and it's also true about Amidah, the Tefillat Amidah, and normally the 19 brachas that we have to daven every day. Notice, very interesting, the poskim try to bring a raya from here. It does not say v'chein b'birkat hamazon, which is mashma that birkat hamazon does not have to be dafka in this correct order. As long as you say the brachas and birkat hamazon, even if they're out of order, they would still be, it would still be yotzei. Yeah, that's a big discussion why the Gemara left out the birkat hamazon. But anyway, how do we know this? Hallel minolah. And we brought this raya from the Megillah, where it seems to be something that's built into the nature of Purim, and the way that Purim relates to time. And as we know, I mean, that's like a very important part of Purim, right? The 2 days, and the question of can one come before the other, and kikol shana v'shana, and we're not going to allow people to keep it in a day that's before the time that they would normally have kept, and v'lo yavor. I mean, that the whole idea of the precise positioning chronologically is very important to Purim. But how do you know that that's true about Hallel? So, says Rabbah, because it says, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo'o. Now, as far as I know, we don't have any record of the sun reversing direction. It always goes, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo'o. So then that would mean that that's the way you have to say Hallel, in that direction. Rav Yosef says, it says, Zehayom Asa Hashem. So, I mean, a day is one of those time things that always seems to go in the same direction. Even though you're wishing it was still morning, you suddenly look up and it's lunchtime and you wasted the whole morning. So that is part of the way that time moves in a day. Rav Avia says, it's the word Yehi. What do you call Hallel? Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach Me'atav Yad Olam. Yehi always means the way in which it has existentially presented itself. And that, therefore, means that if this is the way that the Tehillim are, then this is the way that you have to read it. It's always in that order. Read the end of the pasuk. Me'atavi ad olam. So it has to always be in that format, going from now towards the future. Lovely. Okay, now, Kriyat Shema. How do we know that Kriyat Shema cannot be done out of sequence? D'tanya. And as again, as we said before, there's a different din of out of sequence by Kriyat Shema than there is for the, there's a question about the Hallel, as I'll explain in a moment, but than there is in the Megillah. Because in the Megillah, any element that's out of sequence is possible. And in Kriyat Shema, if the parshios are out of sequence, it's not possible. And there's a question, what about Hallel? So some taina that since Hallel is written one parsha directly after the other in Sefer Tehillim, therefore even the Seder HaParshios are important. And the only reason that we say you could be Yotzi with Kriyat Shema is because we don't keep to a Seder HaParshios when it comes to Kriyat Shema. So obviously, in any way, they're not written one after the other, that's for sure. So the question is whether Hallel is different. Okay, that is a machlokas, what the din is of Gabe Hallel, and you can see the svaras why it would be true. So what's the halacha about Kriyat Shema? Okay, so let's get back to the sugya that we had back in Brachas. And it says over there, the Tanya. So it says in the Braisa like this, Kriyat Shema has to be kichtava. So it has to be written, it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, says Rebbe. You can't put it into some other language. V'chachamim omrim, whatever language you understand. V'chol Lashon, you could say it in any language at all. So why is Rabbi so convinced that it has to be Dafkin Lashon HaKodesh? Because it says in the Pasuk, Omar Kro, Vehayu Adivarim Ha'elam. So Vehayu always means, as we just said, Benogei L'Halo, Vehayu means Kehavayatan. It has to be in the way in which it was originally presented. So it was presented in the Torah, Lashon HaKodesh. V'Rabbanan Ma'itam Ayu. So what does Rabbanan hold? Well, On my craw, they say, well, listen, the Shema, as an amazing coincidence, starts with the word Shema. But the word Shema means to hear the words that you're saying. So that means whatever it is, because remember that Shmi'a in Lashon HaKodesh doesn't simply mean the sounds hitting your eardrum. It means to understand something. And therefore, if you understand the other language, so then that would be fine. That's a good point. So, Rebbe, I mean, like, why did you say it asked me Lashon HaKodesh? What are you going to do with the Pasuk of Shema, Aktiv Shema? Oh, says Rebbe, Shema, I'll tell you what I learned from Shema. Something very important. Not understanding sound. Sound? Exactly. Because like this, you could say that maybe you could just whisper the Shema, or maybe even think the Shema if you're old Hiro Kedibur, but you don't have to actually enunciate the words that you should hear them. So, humi boele ha-shema lo-oznecha, ma-shata motzi mi-picha. So, Adarabba, the Pasuk Shema is actually addressing not comprehension, it's addressing the sounds, and you need to say the Shema aloud in order for you to hear it. And the Rabbanan say, well, that's not true. So it's obviously not what the word Shema means. They hold like the Mandi Omar, Korech Shema v'lo yishmi alas no yatsa. That Shema is a function of comprehension and not of sound. And therefore, according to them, the meaning of the word Shema is not to be mashmi alas necha the sounds, but rather to be able to understand, to expand the concept of Shema into whatever you can understand. Okay, but what did the Rabbanan do with the Vayu? That's pretty strong. I mean, Vayu means it's got to be the way it initially was. How do they deal with that? Rabbananami, doesn't it say Vehayu? That comes to tell me that you have to read it in the correct order, as we said. And that's the Raya that we were referring to before, Aliba the Rabbanan. We don't know how Rebbe knows it yet, but we now understand Aliba the Rabbanan. How do we know that Kriyat Shema has to be read in that order? From the very word vehayu hadvarim ha'ela. And wait a minute, but Rebbe uses the word vehayu hadvarim ha'ela to tell me that it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So how does Rebbe know that Kriyat Shema can't be read out of correct order? That he learns from vehayu hadvarim. Right? He could have just said vehayu dvarim ha'ela. So that would be enough for me to know that it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Tell me hadvarim. That is coming to specify something additional, some other specific thing. And that would be not only that the language has to be in the original language in which it was written, but that the order has to be in the original order in which it was written. So because of that, where's your Abba? Tavi et Abba shelcha. So therefore, it comes to tell us that actually both limudim you have. And according to Rabbanan, why couldn't they learn it from that? They say that's going a little bit overboard. We're not going to be Dorish, both Devarim and HaDevarim. Okay, so now, what does this tell us about the way in which the Torah is generally meant to be seen? In other words, it seems to be that if Rebbe has to tell us a specific din that is unique to Kriyat Shema, and we need a pasuk to tell me that Kriyat Shema has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, then that seems to imply that the given would be, without the special pasuk, that it would not have to be in Lashon HaKodesh, which would mean that the Torah in general is b'chol Lashon Emra. The Torah in general is meant to be understood in any language whatsoever. Now, what exactly does that mean? What do you mean the Torah is meant to be in any language? So Rashi says, well, it means to read the Torah in the Beit HaKnesset, you can read it in any language, and only if you have a specific mitzvah, so then that mitzvah, like over here by Shema, changes that language to Lashon HaKodesh. The obvious question is, there is no mitzvah d'oraisa of reading the Torah in the Beit HaKnesset. So what is Rashi saying? I mean, you see, you'd have to read it. If the Torah is an Emra B'chol Lashon, you could read it in the Beit HaKnesset. Whatever the takona is, this is the way you would read in the Beit HaKnesset. And okay, so I mean, some tiny, obviously that's not, I mean, You could say the Rabbanan make the Takana, but there needs to be a reference in the Pasuk. The Gemara is asking, what is the Pasuk referring to? How can you say the Pasuk is referring to Kriyas HaTorah? That's really strange. So now, it's possible, sometime, maybe what Rashi means is like Pasha Zohar, or Pasha's Par, if you hold that that's the Araisa. There is a Araisa Kriya, or maybe it means Kriya, where you have to do a Kriya. Let's say, do you need to do Mikra Bikurim? Yes. So that this would be the given of Mikra Bikurim. Vidui Meiser, Chalitza. So all of those in Yonim where the Torah demands that you say particular words out of the Torah, it would be Bechol Lashon, because in order to make it specific, you needed to have a special pasuk called Shema. So it's possible, it's possible to dre that Rashi simply means that, look, in the same way that we understand that you're supposed to do Birchas HaTorah before the Kriya, and we say that that's considered to be Midiraisa, even though the Kriya itself is not Diraisa, but Birchas HaTorah is Diraisa. So maybe the idea over here is that once we make a Takona that you have to read the Torah, so then the Torah has to be read as the Torah. Maybe that's the pshat. Now, there's many other approaches to this, which are extremely fascinating. Normally, we don't go off into all of the intricacies of the halacha, but in this case, there are very profound issues of understanding what the Gemara is talking about. And that is, if you take into consideration that the Torah was originally given to Moshe to be written down in other languages. How do we know that? From Ba'ar Hetev. So there, Moshe Rabbeinu is told that when you're going to come in to Eretz Yisrael, so you have to write down Al Ha'avanim et Divrei Torah Azot Ba'ar Hetev. As Rashi explains, Ba'ar Hetev means B'Shivim Lishonot. So then the question is whether those Avanim of Ba'ar Hetev, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned over with Moshe in those languages as well to be able to explain that mitzvah to him. And if that's the case, I mean, so then that means that Moshe would have been explaining, let's say, all of the Gerim that came to join Yisrael in the Midbar, and that also were mekabel on themselves the Torah and didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. So this all would have been taught to them by Moshe Rabbeinu in these other Lashonos, Lechora. So that's the question. Did he need to teach Dafken Lashon HaKodesh? Or could he teach in any of the languages? This is fascinating. But the Rashba brings this from Rav Haigon, that this is the way Rav Haigon was understanding the sugya, because, I mean, after all, it says in the Medrash that on Har Sinai, Kipatish Yifotzeit Sela, and that the words of Torah split up into 70 languages that came out at Har Sinai. So that's one question. There's another incredible issue, which is a bit frightening, and that is the question of, are you going to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So we understand that as opposed to Torah Shebal Peh, the halacha is, and this the Rav Shulchan Aruch speaks this out in great length, that when it comes to Torah Shebiksav, as opposed to Torah Shebal Peh, you are Yotze, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even though you don't understand what you're reading. So now the question is reading the Torah in another language without understanding that language a kiyum of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or is it not? Because over there, you would have to dafka be able to understand it, because it doesn't have the kedusha of the etzem meaning of the words. As the Rishonim put it, other languages are merely haskamot. They're evolutionary agreements that came out as society develops into the way in which they communicate. Mashenkin Lashon HaKodesh is called a Lashon Be'etzem, that it has an intrinsic meaning, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilized Lashon HaKodesh for Ma'aseh Bereishis. And now the question would be, are you Mekayim, the mitzvah of Limud Torah, if you don't understand it? But it's worse than that, because there are also shitas that hold that if you're learning in another language and you're not speaking, are you mekayim a mitzvah of vahagisa bo yom avalayla? Vahagisa is the thinking about it. Are you mekayim the mitzvah of ahagisa? There's a question, as the Ritva says. You're not yotze v'hagisa in other languages. The kedusha of the thoughts of Torah, of the chibur to Torah, is in Lashon HaKodesh. In which case, you would not be yotze behirur. You would have to actually be speaking if you're talking in another language. The Taz says that if you're loyme Torah only behirur, you are not mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Whew. So that's the question. If you're going to be thinking about it, as opposed to actually going over the words of Torah, whew, this is like a frightening kind of thing. If you're only Yotzeh V'Yagisa in Lashon HaKodesh. Anyways, as you can see, there's some very important implications, B'Nogei L'Halacha, of this sugya over here. What do we mean by Kol HaTorah?
If you want the last opinion, one could think thoughts of Torah in English in the bathroom, and it'd be okay.
That's interesting. I have to think about that, whether it necessarily follows, because the union of Mavo'ot between Afim maybe include other inyanim that I'm not thinking of at the moment. But I'll think it over. It's an interesting point. Certainly in Slabotka, where they used to rip out the Tosfos and that were no good, there would Vaday be good. So we can use that as a limud zchus. They were thinking in Yiddish. Oh, wait, I forgot. Yiddish is better than Targum any day. No, I shouldn't say thinking in Yiddish. Anyway, so that's what we want to be medayik over here. Because Isaac, Dr. Bosh and HaKadosh Namra, if you're going to tell me that according to Rebbe, the entire Torah is also only B'Losh and HaKadosh. So I'm not going to be able to be Yitzhak doing Meiser. I'm not going to be able to do a Chalitza or Parsha Zohar or whatever. So why do I need a special pasuk of Vahayu Advarim Ha'ela? So Lama Lilo Mikhtav Vahayu. That's because I would need that, you see. Because even if Rebbe held elsewhere that the din is you have to have Lashon HaKodesh, I would have made the mistake, says Rebbe, of thinking like the Rabbanan who argue with me. And they say Shema means any language that you want. Salka Daitavet Shema means like the Rabbanan, therefore the Torah to make that very clear. No. Vayu means don't make that mistake. Only understand it the way Rebbe understands it. Wait, so then, and according to the Rabbanan, if they say that you need the word Shema to tell me you can use other languages, apparently they hold that if it wouldn't have said Shema, you can only use Lashon HaKodesh. So we have the opposite idea here, right? The opposite inference is that Lema Kasav Rabbanu Kol HaTorah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra. Because if not, Yisal Kedaktav Chaloshen Nemra, so then why do I need Shema? No, I would still need Shema. Because we wouldn't want to make the mistake that Rebbe's making, would we? Of saying V'hayu means that it has to be Nafka V'hayu. Comes along the Torah to write Shema to teach us not to mistake things the way Rebbe learns. Okay, great. Now, we also said that the Tfilat Amidah, the 19 brachas, have to be in the order in which they were kavua. How do we get that? D'tanya. Shim'on ha-pakuli, hisdir shmona esrei brachot lifnei Rabbi Gamliel al ha-seder biyavne. So we see that the seder of the brachot in Barnea's neighborhood, which was otherwise known as Yavne at the time, they didn't identify it properly yet, until later archaeologists found it to be Barnea's neighborhood, but at that time, they called it Yavne. And he was Bedavka Mesader, the Seder of Tefillah, in the correct order. It says Al HaSeder. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask why we need Shimon HaPakuli. HaPakuli, Rashi suggests, actually is a reference to how he made his living. And he used to make his living from selling cotton. And cotton, that was called Pakula, which are piles of cotton. So, okay, anyway, so he was Shimon HaPakuli. So why do we need Shimon HaPakuli if Lamaisa, the original Takana, was made by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola? That the Gemara is going to ask. And it will turn out to be very much consistent with everything else in this Masechet Band. Okay, so Shimon HaPakuli said it has to be on the Seder. And Rabbi Yochanan, some say it was even a Braisa, brings that there were 120 Zakenim, which included Kama Nevi'im, because remember the Nevi'im were alive still at the time of the the Anshei Knesset HaGdola at the beginning of the period over there, which is, of course, our entire Masechet time, the period of the Megillah and Esther and Mordechai. So there were Kamat Nevi'im that were there, and they were part of the Takana of Shmona Esrei Brachot al HaSeder. So it was specifically in the order, and the order was based on Psukim, because Tana Rabbanan, the Brit explains the order. Minayin Shomrim Avot. So how do we know that we're supposed to mention Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elohi Yaakov? Where do we get that from? So actually, the 18 brachot were originally based on the 18 mentions of the Shemin Havu LaHashem B'nei Evilim, Havu LaHashem Kavod. If we go through that, each one of those is a bracha. And that's where they got the idea of bringing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu these various shevachs and thoughts. Those were the 18 brachas. It opens up with Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim. And the Elim, the greats, the giants of the earth, those were the Avais, and that we're supposed to present ourselves as speaking to Elokei HaAvot. And how do you know that you go from there to saying the Gvurot, which include all of the dinim that we had before, Gvurot, Kishamim, and so on. Shenemar Avu LaHashem, Kavod Va'oz. Oz is power. Uminayin Shomrim Kiddushot, after that, Hakel HaKadosh. Because the next mention is Havu LaHashem Kavod Shemo, Yishtach Havu LaHashem Bahadrat Kodesh. So then that means the Shem Hashem is supposed to be presented as Kedusha, Hakel HaKadosh, which is where we say, of course, Kedusha as well, and Chazaras HaShatz, or as part of our own bracha of the 18 brachas, if we're saying it along with the Shatz, or if we are a Shatz, we actually say Kedusha there, because that's part of the Remez in the Pasuk. It's not an interruption of the Tefillah. Okay, and why do we go directly to the bracha of Bina after that? Mara ulomar Bina achar kedusha shenemar v'igdishu et kedosh Yaakov that Elohei Yisrael ya'aritzu. Because take a look at the Seder in Yeshayahu. First it says, higdishu et kedosh Yaakov et Elohei Yisrael. So it's obviously a reference to kedusha. And then it says, v'yad'u to'ei ruach Bina. And those who have made these basic mistakes in how they approach life, they will learn Bina right after Kedusha. And why do we have Teshuvah as the very next bracha? So we have the Chonin Adas, and then we go directly to Harotzeh B'Teshuvah, Tichtiv, Ulevavo Yavin, Vishav, Virafalo. So immediately out of Bina comes Teshuvah. Oh, wait a second. So then if that's true, it's look closely at that pasuk, and what should the next bracha be? Rafalo. So then the next bracha ought to be Refu'ah. So why don't we say Refu'ah as the next bracha? Something went wrong over there. So why do we have instead a bracha that relates to tshuva, which is about Slicha, and then we talk about the bracha of Refu'ah? No. Because obviously, Slicha is directly related to Teshuva, isn't it? I mean, that's the pasuk. V'yashov el Hashem v'yirachameh uvel alokein ukiyabel isloach. So then that means that we go from Teshuva to Slicha. So therefore, we should do, immediately after the bracha of Harotzeh b'Teshuva, we should have the bracha of Slicha. That makes more sense. Well, I mean, what do you mean it makes more sense? You're saying that we learn it from a pasuk. We have one pasuk that says, Vishav Virafalo. So that would mean that Refuah should come after Teshuvah. And we have another bracha that says that Hasoleach L'chol Avonach. I'm sorry, that says that we go Vishav, not Virafalo, but then that would be Kiar Belisloach. So how do you know to rely on that one? Maybe we should follow the other pasuk. That's because there's another pasuk that makes it clear. Because it says, Hasoleach l'chol avonaychi, harofei l'chol tachlu'aychi, hago'el mishachat chayaychi. Now look at the Seder over there in Tehillim. So then that makes it very clear that you have these brachas of Refuah and Geula, they come after Slicha, Soleach Lecho Avonaychi. So therefore, we first say Slicha, and then we go to Refuah and Geula. But You still haven't explained to me. So what do we do with the Veshav V'Rafala? Which means that there is a pasuk that's insisting that after Teshuah comes Refuah. Well, which way is it? No, you're assuming that that Refuah is Refuah from illness? That's not Refuah from illness. That's not Refuah the Tachaluim. That's the Refuah that is given by Selicha. Tachaluim is basically the illness of your body. Whereas the illness of the neshama, like the Rambam explains in the Hilchos Deos, there are people that are ill in their minds, in their nefesh. So that illness of nefesh has some of the same symptoms. People that have physical illnesses, let's say they have problems in the nutrition, they could sit around eating dirt because they need to have calcium, let's say, right? And there's people who have sick souls, and they eat dirt. And that's the only thing that makes them happy. And they misidentify the things that are making them happy in life. That's also an illness. So that illness, that's the one that is addressed by the concept of tshuva. That's the, and that comes from slicha. And the slicha, as we saw before, that's the elements of kapara, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the slicha is that which heals your soul. Because we saw that when the only thing that's missing is mechila, then mechila becomes the kapara, if you remember the diyuk in Hilchos Teshuva. So there, indeed, it's true that hasoleach is then harofe. But that's not talking about physical illness. Okay, I understand that you can say that. I mean, but then there's got to be an awfully good reason for why we then go to the geula. Because, I mean, what we should have done is then, at least when we finished the slicha, we should have pushed off that refuah of the goof to the next bracha. So it should follow. I mean, even if you want to say that, I understand. Okay, so the pasuk is referring to that. But what about the other pasuk that's talking about the actual refuah that comes after slicha? But we don't say that. We for some reason, we push off refuah to the eighth bracha, and we make the geula into the seventh bracha, even though the order of the pasuk was rofe goel. Why do we do that? So mara ulomar geula b'shviit. So why didn't we move up geula to the seventh year? Omar, seventh bracha. Omar Rava, because the seventh year is when geula occurs. Shomitoch shatidim ligael b'shviit, leficha kiva'u b'shviit, they made it the seventh bracha. I thought, doesn't it say in that whole Brisa in Sanhedrin, we said, b'shishit, kolot, b'shviit, milchamot, and emotsoi shviit, ben David ba. So there may be wars in the eighth year of that cycle, but the actual coming of Mashiach is in the seventh year. The coming of Mashiach is only in the eighth year, meaning the first year of the next cycle. Yeah, that's true. But the beginning of the geula are the wars. So milchama nami atchalta de geula. Okay, so I understand why you inverted. I mean, you want to put shviyas as geula, but still you're pushing refuah into the wrong bracha. I mean, so what's the justification on both ends that we should violate the Seder of the Pasuk? That we should switch the positions of geula from 8 to 7, and of refuah from 7 to 8. I mean, there's got to be some consistency to that. So, ma ra'ula ma refuah b'shminit. Ah, says Rav Acha. That's because mila is on the 8th day, and mila requires refuah. So, therefore, refuah is the 8th day. And, of course, as we explained in that essay, that the idea of mila is refuah. That's the point. It's not just that it needs refuah, but that when you're taking responsibility for your own body, so then that's mechayev you already, the entire concept of becoming involved in the functionality, which is refuah. Okay, and how do we get to the ninth bracha of Birkat HaShanim? Omer Rabbi Alexandri, Birkat HaShanim is actually meant as the bracha to undo those sneaky, rotten people who are always trying to conspire for price raising. Yes, indeed. It's about monopolies. That's what it's all about. And those are mafkiei sha'arim. And it says in Tehillim, Shvar Zroa Rasha, break them, their power. How do you break them? By providing so much food that there's no way that you can have the same thing that you do when you you start producing a lot of oil, so you bust the oil monopolies, where that breaks up the whole thing. That's why the United States started increasing the production of oil and so on, to actually destroy the monopoly. So David, when he said that tehillah, he said it in the ninth tehillah. He didn't really, by the way, he said it in the tenth tehillah. But Lamaisa, the first two tehillim, according to many, are considered to be one, or that maybe these two are considered to be one. If other people have the Girsin Rashi, it's a question of the Girsin Rashi. Take a look at the box, you'll see the two possibilities. Umara ulomar kibbutz galuyot le'achar b'kata shanim. So why did we go to Kabetz Nitche Amo Yisrael? Because after you've got all of this fertility that we got through the Birkat Hashanim, then we have that bracha of Atem Harei Yisrael, Anpachem Titenu, Uferiachem Tisula Mi Yisrael Ki Kervu Lavo. So that means that the coming of the Goliaths is dependent on first the fertility and the grandeur of the production of Eretz Yisrael. So once we talk about the Birkat Hashanim, now we can talk about Kervu Lavo, the Geula. The people who are coming back are coming to back. And once we have that, Kivan Shinit Kapzu Goliot, now it's time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go through the people that come back, just like we had in the days of Ezra, and to get rid of all the garbage that came back with them. Shenemar, that's Nasa Din Bereshayim, and that's why we have the Baruch of Shoftim. V'yashiva Yadi Alayich, V'etzrof Kibor Sigayich. So I'm going to use lye to burn away all of the garbage that's there. And therefore we have the bracha on the dayanim. The kivan shenas din min harishaim kolo haposhim. So that's the end of all of these terrible people. And that gets rid of the minim. So that's kolel zedim imahem. And that's why we have the birkat haminim. Now this part obviously is not part of the original Seder, because this was centuries later that we made the Takona of the Min. It was only afterwards, as the Rambam explains. But nonetheless, it was put into its correct position into the Seder HaBrachas, and therefore even the Seder of the Birkas HaMinim is important. So because of that, we wanted to explain Birkas HaMinim. V'kimet shekolo haposhim. Once you get rid of these people, then the Keren HaTzadikim becomes clear. Mitro Memet Keren Tzadikim, Dechtivachol Karnei Rishayim Agadeya, Tiromamna Karnot Tzadik. And then once you're saying La Tzadikim, you talk about the Gerei HaTzadik. Kolel Gerei HaTzadik Ima Tzadikim, because the Torah does. On the one pasuk is Mipnei Seva Takum Vahadarta Pnei Zakein, followed by Vichia Gurit Hager. So you see that if you're going to be Mavorech V'Tzadikim, you must have a special mention of the Gerim. And where is the Mokum in which to Romamna Karnot Tzadik? Heichan Mitromemet. In Yerushalayim Yerakadash. Shenema Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim Yishlayu Ohavayich. So then that means those who love Yerushalayim and those who are the Tzadikim, that's Bnei Yerushalayim. V'kivan Shivnivnet Yerushalayim. Once Yerushalayim is built, now we're ready for Mashiach. So that shows again that first we need the whole Zionist dream and bringing back the Paris of Eretz Yisrael and the kibbutzim. And then we finally are Kovesh Yerushalayim. And Barnea is big on the Herzl quotes. And then Herzl actually talked about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim describes the whole, what it's going to be like for all the Amim to come to the Beis HaMikdash and sophistication. Fine. So, okay. So once you've got that, I'll do that. All right, so once you've got that, you've got the makom for your ben David to show up, because it says Achar Yashuvu Bnei Yisrael Vikshu Es Hashem Elokeim Ve'ez David Malkam. Obviously, the Yashuvu doesn't mean Yashuvu to Eretz Yisrael, which has already taken place in the earlier brachas. Yashuvu means that they will recognize it's time to get back to the Har HaBayis, to get back to the Beis HaMikdash, and stop looking at that as if it's some sort of old-fashioned adjunct to Yerushalayim. Then they'll understand that's where you have to be. And once David comes, now it's time for tefillah. Shenema ve'aviotim el har kochi v'simachtim be'beit tefillati, which is exactly the way that Shlomo HaMelech talks about when he's mechanech the Beis HaMikdash, that this will be the Beis Tefillah. And once we have Tefillah, Then we have Aveda, which is Ritzei, Shemar Olotehem, Vesifreyem, Liratzona Mizbechi. And then if you're doing Aveda, it's time to bring the Korban Teida, which is the Zman of Teida, Shemar Zelveach Toda, Yechabdanini. Umar Ula Mar Birkat Koanim Acher Hoda. That's because it says, Vayisa Aaron et Yodo El Ha'am, Vayavarachim, Vayered Me'asota Chatat Ve'olav Ashlamim. So that the time to do Birkat Kohanim is when he's coming off of the Avodah of the actual Korbanos. Wait, maybe it says Vayisaron et Yadav, and then it says Achatat Olav Ashlamim. So maybe it should be before Avodah. No, can't you read? It says Vayered Me'asot. He already did it, didn't he? La'asot. It says Me'asot. Oh, so then why don't we just say it right after Avodah? Why do we have Modim? No, because it says Zover Todayach Abneni. Understand? So then you've got to steer on the psukim. So which one is it? Vayered Ma'asot, or is it the Zover Todah? So my chazit is Samachta Hai, Smocha Hai. This is logical that Hodah and Avodah are so profoundly interrelated. It's almost the same thing. So Mistabra Avodah Avodah. And at the end, we have Shalom after Birkas Kohanim. What is the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem Yivarech et Amo Bashalom. And of course, that's the way Birkas Kohanim actually ends, with the word Shalom.